You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Europe is once again experiencing an extreme summer heatwave. This time, however, the United States is also coming through with some heat over the Independence Day weekend. What's the immediate cause of this? And are these isolated events, or are we seeing a broader pattern emerging?
Well, both. Broader pattern happening, which is a part of the global climate change, and that's certainly affecting New Zealand as well. And I can comment on that in just a minute. But the immediate cause, of course, is these things called heat domes, which is really a large, slow-moving anticyclone, sometimes called a blocking anticyclone, where in the Northern Hemisphere, these can hang around for 10 days, maybe 2 weeks. In New Zealand, they tend to hang around for maybe up to about a week. The westerlies here are stronger. And so that sets very settled, sunny weather. The sun beams down, pollution increases, heat becomes excessive. They've had temperatures over 40 degrees Celsius, and there have been reported estimated over 20,000 deaths throughout Europe, maybe 860 in the UK, largest number in France and Germany, of order of 5,000, and Spain and Italy, Spain about 3,000, and Italy a little under 3,000. That's the estimate at the moment. And of course, over the 4th of July weekend, just the day before, there was a huge area in the eastern parts of the United States that was over 100 degrees Fahrenheit, you know, about, let's see, 35, close to 40 degrees, slightly under 40 degrees over extensive areas. And even today, it's quite warm in Washington, D.C. And so this has led to cancellation or changes in the celebrations for the 4th of July, cutting down on fireworks, for instance, the risk of fire. No doubt there were a lot of small fires around. But in addition to the heat, and a lot of these deaths have been because of people not having air conditioning and not being able to get to cooler conditions, so they overheated. But also some of them are from drowning. People are trying to get relief and going for a swim and not coping.
You mentioned these cyclones. Is this just weather? I mean, how much of it is being actually influenced by climate change?
Yeah, so the climate change aspect relates to overall global warming, and there's another factor under play at the moment, which is the developing El Nino in the tropical Pacific. And so that brings very high sea surface temperatures, and that pumps up the convection in the tropics, throughout the tropics. And at the moment, that's certainly in play. What it means is that all of that air is rising in the tropics over the oceans, but then it subsides somewhere, and that's in the subtropical anticyclones. And one way to think about the climate change aspect is that the subtropics are getting a bit wider. And so that affects New Zealand as well. And certainly we've seen this winter, most of the storms have been to the south of New Zealand, and we've had the odd storm like now that has camped out over New Zealand for a little bit. But we've also had a remarkable amount of sunny weather in June, for instance. And similar sorts of things are in play in Europe and in North America. The jet stream and the main storms have tended to shift a little bit further to the north. And this seems to be related to the global climate change, which is associated with human activities, the increases in carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. So global warming is the other way that's often referred to. And so changes are underway. There's always weather and, you know, variability on top of that. And these are not permanent states of affairs, but they tend to prevail overall.
You've slightly mentioned this already, but what do these heat waves mean for wildfire risk and for communities living in vulnerable areas?
So with the heat waves, with the anticyclonic fine weather conditions, that means there's a lot of extra heat available. Where does that heat go? Well, the first thing it does is it dries out the surface. It increases evaporation, it evaporates moisture, then the plants begin to wilt, and at some point when the soil moisture has dried up, the plants become very vulnerable for any wildfire around, any sparks, whether it's deliberate in some cases or whether it's accidental and maybe even from lightning or something like that. And so the risk of wildfire certainly goes up, varies a lot, and it depends on the available vegetation. And so whether it's indeed wild or whether it's managed. On a farm, maybe there's some irrigation and watering that's available, for instance. This is true also in New Zealand, although in New Zealand, the biggest risk is associated with the very heavy rains that we get from time to time. And just now we've had some very heavy rains in the Dunedin area, for instance. That goes along with the warming atmosphere being able to hold more moisture. Some of that moisture, when it comes down from the tropics, is what has caused our biggest floods and erosion.
You've said previously that with the way that we're going, this heat wave may seem moderate in the future. What do you mean by that, and how concerned should we be about this?
Well, climate change is underway. It's caused by human activities. Carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is at its highest level ever. It continues to increase. Maybe there's been a slight decrease in the rate of increase, but carbon dioxide continues to increase. We're still emitting, or we as a whole globally are still emitting far too much and burning fossil fuels and putting more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, and methane also contributes. And so global warming is happening, and it's going to continue. It'll continue at least for the next decade or two. And if we took very strong actions now, as recommended by the United Nations, for instance, then we may be able to slow the rate of increase down and possibly lower it to a point where it the changes in the climate become more manageable. That's certainly the goal. I mean, at the moment, there's been a 50% increase in carbon dioxide, and carbon dioxide could well double for 2050. It will certainly double, sooner or later, not too far from there. And then the question is, later in the century, what are the prospects then? And so the prospects for global warming continue, and there's been no sign that, as a whole, we are getting this under control.
Looking ahead, what should governments and individuals be doing to prepare for a future where extreme heat, like what we're seeing currently, is likely to become much more regular during summer?
Well, two things. Firstly, we should be taking more actions to cut down on the use of fossil fuels and cut down on the problem, slow down the rates of change of climate change, and that allows us to so-called adapt to climate change. And so that's the other aspect of it, is we should be building resilience in many ways. In Europe, that probably means adding more cooling centers, for instance, and making sure that there's adequate water available. In New Zealand, we have to worry quite a lot about really heavy rains and coastal erosion and rising sea levels. Already, there's a lot of places around the country that are under threat, and the question is, can you build a seawall that will help at least temporarily, but in the longer term, people should be building in better places, safer places. You know, maybe Christchurch is an example. Following the earthquake, a lot of the flooding that occurred in association with the River Avon, and a lot of the developments have been further away from the coast and in regions that are much less subject to flooding. And so there's been some really good changes that have occurred in the Christchurch area, but other areas in Auckland and in Wellington are also vulnerable. And so assessing the risk, assessing the vulnerability, and then doing something about it, planning for it ahead of time, is the sort of things that individuals should do, but also it should be done by governments.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.